The initiative in Holocaust Genocide Memory Studies was started several years ago by my colleague Michael Rothberg, who, like me, is a Holocaust scholar who's also a literary scholar. And Michael noticed that there were several amazing scholars on this campus across a range of disciplines in anthropology, in comparative literature, in history, in English, in all of these different disciplines, in German, who were really interested in not only questions of Holocaust studies and Holocaust history and Holocaust literature, but there were also people here who were interested in connecting the Holocaust as an event, as a historical event, as a genocide, with other genocides, such as the Armenian genocide, the Cambodian genocide, the genocide in Rwanda. All of those distinct historical events can be fruitfully put into conversation with Holocaust art, literature, and history. So he decided that it would be great if the faculty could come together in order to form a core group of faculty in order to build on the strength that we already had in this campus.
So since the original idea came about, the initiative has led to a variety of things like a reading group and a recent presentation on the rise of the radical right and how it ties to modern times, looking at the U.S., Poland, Russia, Germany, and Turkey. You're planning a follow-up to that, which we hope to hear about at a later time. And just in general, we hope to hear about some of these issues further. For now, for this conversation, I was hoping you could explain to us a little bit more about what memory studies is. I'm assuming part of it, you know, is providing context for where we are now as a society and politically.
So memory studies is a very amorphous and hard to define field. The idea is that within academe, there are multiple different departments or fields that might be interested in concepts of memory and history. So the idea of memory studies is to be able to talk about questions of memory and history no matter what field or discipline people are in. So there has been a large distinction made between memory and history. And some people who have made this distinction will classify memory as the field that has to do with things that are not necessarily written down, whereas history is the field that's about the archive, things that are recorded, things that are written down. So one loose way of saying this would be that memory is more informal and history is more formal.
So what is the importance of memory studies and this research as you see it?
One way of thinking about the importance of memory studies is to think about how it is that different people from different nations or groups interconnect. And one way that's really helpful to think that through is a concept that Michael Rothberg, who founded the initiative in Holocaust Genocide Memory Studies, came up with, which is this idea of multidirectional memory. And what Michael means in part by multidirectional memory is ways in which you can think about memory moving across time and space in all kinds of different directions. So in the example of the Holocaust, it's not just that people who are trying to commemorate other genocides are looking to the way in which the Holocaust has been remembered or commemorated in order to find models for how to remember whatever else it is that they are trying to remember, but it's also that memory works the other way. So people who are struggling to try to remember the Holocaust are looking at the way in which the Armenian genocide is being commemorated, or the way in which the Museum of African American History that just opened in Washington works. So the point is that memory studies is a place where people from different disciplines, different nations, who are concerned about different traumatic events or genocides can come together and share resources and share ideas and learn about how other people are thinking about traumatic events.
I'm speaking with Brett Kaplan. She's the director for the program in Jewish Culture and Society at the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign. And so I wanted to just ask you, as somebody who teaches Holocaust representation as well as modern Jewish literature and who has an eye on this sort of thing, You know, we've been hearing a lot about neo-Nazis and white supremacy, and there's people saying, you know, this sort of ideology is on the rise again. And I'm wondering if that's something, if you agree that it's on the rise.
I absolutely think that white supremacy is on the rise. And actually, I would argue, and this is coming from me, not from my position as faculty here, I would argue that the choice of Trump is in fact a white supremacist choice, which is not to say that everybody who voted for Trump is racist, but what it is to point out is that people who supported him, I don't think they could support him without seeing the way in which not only is he himself connected with avowedly racist people and ideas like Steve Bannon from Breitbart News, which if you look on Breitbart News, is just, it's racist. I mean, there's no real way to see that or read that without seeing the inherent racism of something like Breitbart News. So I think that, yes, white supremacy is coming back, and that is indeed why it's so important that we as scholars can try to make connections historically and across different nations to see what's happening. Now, I do not think that Trump is like Hitler. Like, let's be very clear about that. We're in a very different world. It's not, there's no comparison there directly. But what we can see is that there is a rise in racist discourse. There's a rise in anti-Semitic discourse. Those two things are interconnected, and they're interconnected through this idea of white supremacy, right? I really like what Van Jones said, which is he called what happened whitelash. In other words, there was, you know, for the first time in American history, a smart, articulate, incredibly well-educated black president, and he was seen as a threat to people who don't believe in multiracial lives or hybridity or different voices being heard. And so whitelash is Van Jones's term to explain what happened as a reaction against our first ever black president. So yes, I think there are a lot of interconnections. I think we need to be super careful never to make connections in a way that's irresponsible. Like I said, Trump is not Hitler. And that's really important to remember that. But I do think it can be really helpful to look at what happened, say, in Germany in the 1930s, which is that the historians who study Hitler's speeches have very carefully looked at the way in which anti-Semitic rhetoric was entirely present. It wasn't hidden at all. It was just there in his speeches. And it was very, very visceral and present. And so it's not, it doesn't make any sense to say that the Holocaust happened with no warning, as it were, because there was ample evidence in the speeches. So I think that we need to take hate speech very seriously.